You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetQL Network. Man, what a day we got for you guys today. What a show we have for you. We're talking a little bit of everything. We'll talk some college baseball with our guy, Johnny VTV, in moments. We got playoff basketball, playoff hockey that we will dive into. Lucy Burge going to join me later in the show as well. And then the NFL draft, if you can believe it, comes up on Thursday. We will dive into that as well. We'll wrap everything up with our favorite plays of the day. As always, any questions, comments, best bets that you guys have for us, we're talking a little bit everything today. So anything that you guys want to discuss, throw it in the chat and go to twitch.tv/BetQL, YouTube.com/Odyssey Sports, or you can go to Twitter and Instagram at the BetQL app. And as always, if you miss anything over the next 30 minutes, you can always catch the show on the Send It In podcast, wherever you get your podcast. Let's get this thing rolling. Glass is in session. We go to the Glasser guest line, and joining us as he does on Mondays is Johnny Venezia, who you can follow on X at @_JohnnyVTV, host of the Breaking Bet podcast. All right, Johnny, we're starting to get into really the middle chunk of the season here in college baseball, conference play, a lot of good games, a lot of big results, a lot of eye-opening results. We were talking about a couple of them before the show started. What were some of your biggest takeaways from the games this weekend?
Thanks so much for having me, PJ. Always great to be here. I think it's been something that I've been talking about since the preseason. It's just parity among teams. One week, a team looks so dominant. The next week, they have a lot of question marks. And this is not a surprise to me. I talked about this on my Breaking Bet show, preseason edition, that I don't think there's one team like Wake was last year or Tennessee was the year before. It's going to be a lot of roller coaster up and down movement. I think A&M and Arkansas have looked like the best two teams by far, but I wouldn't say they're in a class of their own like Wake was last year. So I think this is the kind of year where we're going to see a team possibly come out of nowhere and make a run at this thing. So, you know, buying into the favorites that have gotten steamed down, not a lot of good value right now, depending on what book you're looking at, definitely worthy of looking somewhere outside of, I would say, the top 8 to 10 at the moment.
So you say there's a lot of parity right now. When you're looking at the rankings, the top four teams in the country are all SEC teams. These are teams that we've talked about plenty this year: A&M, Arkansas, Tennessee, and Kentucky. So you say that it could be a wide open year. Of those four teams, which ones are you not buying?
I got to say Kentucky. I got to give credit to them. They've played unreal this year. They really have. I did not expect them to be good. I didn't expect them to even make the tournament. It's odd because they don't have like one superstar. Most of these teams have a guy that you'd think is at least going to be a first rounder on this roster right now. I can't say for certain they have that guy, that like one true stud where all these other teams do, but they found ways to win series, man. They're very gritty. They're like the Tampa Bay Rays of college baseball. They just find ways to win. And, you know, they just lost to Tennessee at home. That's a really great series. And, you know, they didn't fall too far in the rankings because of that loss, because it was so tight, although the Vols should have swept them. If Billy Amick didn't boot a ground ball on Friday, I believe they probably do get swept. But Kentucky, for my money, I just don't buy them to win the College World Series, considering what kind of horsepower they have to go up against. And, you know, the Wildcats are going to be a team that you can bet on at certain points throughout the year for the rest of the season. But in order to make it, especially at their 20-1 price, I just don't see Kentucky being that team I believe in. I'm going to continue to doubt them. Maybe they prove me wrong.
Well, Johnny, we're getting a question here from our guy B Mills on YouTube. He wants to know, who is your do not bet team in college baseball? He said his has become Oregon State. I know the Beavers screwed you over the weekend in Berkeley. Who is your, maybe you have more than one, who's your do not bet teams in college baseball so far this year?
Oregon State's scaring me. I have a lot of equity tied up in them, but I would probably have to say TCU and Florida are my two most do not bet teams. You probably could add LSU to that list as well. I think, you know, I've gotten burned enough by them to the point where it's just impossible to try and pick and choose when they're going to win a ball game. And even coming down to the nitty gritty of the season where these teams are really on the hook that they might not make the field of 64. I just don't think I can bet on them at all. I've been fading them more now, and it's become more profitable. But I think reasonably between Florida, LSU, and TCU, we might see at least two of those three teams not make the field whatsoever.
All right, good question there from B. Mills. What are your thoughts on NC State? Obviously, we saw what the Wolfpack did in college basketball this year. Their men's team, women's team, both made it to the Final Four. And now their baseball team, Johnny, is starting to play really well. 75-1 right now to win it all. You think the Wolfpack could be a team to potentially watch? Could you see them maybe getting to Omaha?
No. 75-1. NC State, I actually was on them on Thursday as a nice plus money dog at home against UNC. I think NC State's got some really good offensive boppers. Jacob Cozart is going to be maybe the first catcher off the board this year. He's very talented, definitely first round material. Alec Marekovich, or Makarevich, I should say, they got some really good offensive firepower. The pitching is a little bit of a concern. Their Friday guy coming to the year, Sam Highfield, was really good, but he struggled as of late. I just don't know if they have enough pitching to sustain, because unless you have an offense like a Tennessee or a Coastal or a Georgia, you have to have at least something of slightly above average pitching. I just don't know if the Wolfpack do at the moment. There's a lot of teams in that Carolina region that they would have to see, because that's the most loaded region in the entire country is the Carolinas. And I just don't know if they'd be able to get out of it against an ECU or a UNC in Chapel Hill or even a South Carolina. I think it would be tough for them. So I'm fading NC State come tournament time.
How about the Arizona Wildcats? I saw you tweet about them. You were giving out some of your favorites that you like, teams that are flying under the radar and some long shots. You said Arizona could be a team to watch. What do you like about the Wildcats this season?
So Arizona was 200-1 a couple weeks ago. I actually got into a little bit of a debate with somebody that follows me, and he liked them. And to be honest, I don't really buy them as a team that'll win it all. I think what's appealing about them as a Hail Mary shot is the fact that their starting rotation has been really good, like much better than last year. Jackson Kent, their Friday guy, has been a revelation. This kid's pitching to a sub-3 ERA. I think it's even sub-2.5 at this point. And you know, Arizona's offense wasn't what it was last year, which is why I have concerns. But they're the kind of team where if they get a favorable draw, they could come out of a region. And at 100-1, if you're betting them and they come out of a region, maybe you can make a little bit of equity if they face a tough super, like, for instance, I don't know, maybe a Tennessee or something like that. It always comes down to the draw. I think Arizona and Northeastern are good Hail Mary shots, like 100-1, 200-1, you're throwing a little bit of money on there in case they make a super, God forbid they make a College World Series. You can find a way to create some equity out of that ticket. I don't really buy them to win it all. I'm not very high on many West Coast teams ever. The only one is really Oregon State, even though they've kind of let me down recently. But, you know, Arizona is a good little lunch money play. I wouldn't really put too much stock into it, but really do want to credit the Wildcats for playing as well as they have. They do have a really tough Oregon State matchup to close out the year. And Arizona currently leads the Pac-12 in the regular season. So we'll see if that sticks.
Really good stuff, as always, from our guy, Johnny Venezia. You can follow on X at @_JohnnyVTV, host of the Breaking Bet podcast. Johnny, always appreciate the time, man. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you so much, brother. Talk soon.
All righty. Moving on now, as it's time for a little playoff page, we dive into today's NBA slate, where we got three games, two in the Eastern Conference, and then we have the Lakers and the Nuggets out west. B Mills with another question for us. How about Donovan Mitchell over 4.5 assists as we dive in to this Cavs and Magic game? Don't hate the look. This is what's great about the playoffs, right? Cleveland comes out. Donovan Mitchell has a really good game one. How is Orlando going to adjust? I think they have to force the ball out of Mitchell's hands, right? Easier said than done. But I don't think Mitchell over 4.5 assists is a bad look at all. The juice -122 isn't terrible. I think that certainly could be a look. The prop that I like is going to be Franz Wagner over 1.5 3-pointers at +105. He was 2-for-6 in game one. And I thought Orlando could match up well with Cleveland. It looks like that was a mistake, even after one game. There's a reason why the Cavs have gone from minus 190 to win the series all the way up to minus 400 after one game. I would lay the 5.5 with them again tonight. The Magic just are a team that does not have enough three-point shooting to really take advantage of what the Cavs want to do defensively. We know how good their interior defense is with Evan Mobley and Jared Allen. A team like the Boston Celtics would be a nightmare matchup for Cleveland because of how well they can shoot the three ball. But Orlando, right, like Jalen Suggs isn't really a great three-point shooter. Cole Anthony isn't all that great. Wagner's kind of hit or miss. Wendell Carter, they rely on to shoot some threes as well. Just don't have enough shooting that I think you need to really take advantage of Cleveland's defense. And it's just a good matchup for the Cavs. Being at home, you know, that game was low scoring. It was ugly. We talked about that under in game one, 207.5, and it's gone all the way down to 202.5. So odds makers aren't messing around. They're not putting this at 204.5, 205.5, waiting to see how this thing plays out another game. They're dipping right to 202.5. I would honestly still take the under in the game. I do like the Cavs minus the 5.5, though, and I do like Franz Wagner over 1.5. three-pointers. As for the Sixers and the Knicks, this is probably going to be my favorite bet of the night. Obviously, we're waiting to see the news on Tyrese Maxey. He's questionable to play tonight. He's dealing with an injury. Thank goodness Joel Embiid is okay. Had that incredible dunk and then immediately hurt himself. Came back into the game. He's going to be all right. I still like the Sixers in this game, with or without Maxey. Just doesn't make much sense to me. Again, if Maxey doesn't play, that's the reason that the spread would go up in this game. The Knicks were favored by 4.5. Right now at most shops, they're about 6, 6.5. So it looks like Maxey's not going to play. The Sixers were right in that game until the very end. Josh Hart, OG Anunoby hit a couple of big threes for the Knicks to seal it down the stretch. But this is why the Sixers went out and got Nick Nurse, right? For so long, Doc Rivers is the head coach for Philadelphia. We just begged them to make adjustments, and he just couldn't do it. Nick Nurse is going to look at the film after game one and make the proper adjustments. If you like Philadelphia like me, though, I think you got to like Kelly Oubre over 12.5 points, especially if Maxey is out tonight. They're going to need scoring from somebody other than Joel Embiid. They got it from Nick Batum in that game against the Heat. Tobias Harris, they're paying all that money. Maybe they need it from him, but I think Oubre's got to be the guy tonight. He's going to be in the corner for that three. He's got to attack the paint. He's got to make free throws. We'll see if Maxey plays. Even if he doesn't, I like Philadelphia plus the points tonight. I take some money line as well, and I look at Kelly Oubre over 12.5 points. I'd also take Jalen Brunson under 30.5 points. Philadelphia, if there was one thing that they can kind of hang their hat on, even in that loss, is the fact that Maxey was great in game one, so hopefully he plays tonight, but also they did a really good job on Jalen Brunson, made life extremely tough for him. He was 8 for 26 from the field. I'd take the under 30.5 points on Brunson tonight as well. And then Lakers and Nuggets, game one. Game kind of played out how I thought it would. I like Denver -7. Lakers came out first quarter, first half. Denver had a long layoff, little rusty to start, but man, they just remind me so much of the UConn Huskies on the men's side, right? It's like you can make runs on the Nuggets, but they just keep coming at you. And you just see how at the end of the game, LeBron and AD, it's like, what more do we have to do to beat this team? They're obviously going to need more out of D'Angelo Russell. They're going to need more out of Austin Reeves. If the Lakers want any chance of winning this series, if they want any chance of winning a game in Denver, they're going to need those role players to really step up for them, because the Nuggets, that starting five that they have and some of those guys off the bench, they're just too good. Jokic is incredible. So I like Denver again tonight, -7.5. I'd lay it with them. If you do like the Lakers to keep it close, though, I think you got to look at some Russell props or some Austin Reeves. You know what LeBron and AD are going to give you. It's going to be up to those other guys if the Lakers are going to keep it close. Kay Hilmers has given us a question. Going to keep fading Scotty and golf. PJ guy seems to be locked in right now. Baby on the way. No problem. You know, it's a good thing we had Scotty at the Masters, Kay Hilmers. Didn't work out for us at the RBC. Guy's unbelievable, right? I mean, he's certainly going to take some time off now. I think, depending on obviously when he has his kid, I think we're going to see him the week right before the PGA when he plays at the Wells Fargo. I'm certainly done betting against Scotty at this point. I think the best bet in golf is just to bet Scotty top five at plus money. Or if you want to bet a golfer, look at the market to bet a winner without Scotty Scheffler. We haven't seen a golfer dominate on the PGA Tour like this since Tiger. And I'm not saying that he's Tiger, but he is on a Tiger-like run right now. First player since the mid-80s to win the Masters and the RBC back-to-back weeks. He comes out, he shoots a 2-under in his first round, and then he goes on to just destroy the field by 3 shots, and it was never really close on Sunday. So Scotty's incredible. I'm done fading him. I'm done telling you guys not to bet him. As a matter of fact, I'm telling you that every week he tees it up, you should just bet him top five at plus money, because that's what he's going to do. If he doesn't win, he's going to finish runner-up or he's going to finish top five, and that currently is the best bet in golf. Scotty Scheffler is just incredible. Moving on now to the NHL playoff slate. Man, do I love playoff hockey. I was watching a bunch of the games this weekend. We got the Maple Leafs and the Bruins. This was my favorite series at the beginning of the playoffs, was the Bruins minus 120 over the Maple Leafs. Liked them in game one, came out and dominated Toronto. But this is what I love about playoff hockey. And keep in mind so far, guys, that in the NBA and NHL playoffs so far, the home team is 14-0. No road teams have won yet in the NBA or the Stanley Cup playoffs. Something tells me that's going to change tonight, especially on the ice. I think the Leafs would be the first dog that I would look at tonight, plus 115. Something I love looking for in playoff hockey is when everybody thinks that one team is going to dominate the series or get a stranglehold of the series, that's immediately when you back the other team, right? So coming into this series, a lot of people thought it was a coin flip. Most people probably like Boston, but certainly the Leafs were talented enough. After what Boston did in game one, they might change goalies tonight. The Leafs might in game two. And now nobody wants any part of the Leafs. That's why I'll jump on them at plus 115. So I like Toronto tonight against Boston. We also got the Islanders tonight against the Hurricanes. Carolina minus 250. The Islanders plus 200. Like the under in this game at 5.5. This is how the Islanders hang around with people. This is how they keep it close. They want to muck it up. They want to play 2-1 kind of games. I like that under tonight. I also like the Islanders to score the first goal at plus 140. I think they get off to a hot start. Then we got a series I'm really looking forward to in the Western Conference, the Golden Knights and the Stars. Golden Knights were the second wild card team to make it in. Obviously, the defending Stanley Cup champions, and they're going up against the number one seed in the West, the Dallas Stars. I think Vegas is another dog that I like tonight on the road at plus 115. Vegas is going to remind everybody that they are the defending champions. Even though on paper, the Stars are the best team in the West, I think Vegas gets the win tonight. So I like Vegas plus 115. And then Kings Oilers is going to be an awesome series. Obviously, get to watch McDavid. I'm going to pass on this series. I would probably lean towards the over, if anything. I mean, anytime you're getting an Oilers game, you always tend to lead that way with their offensive firepower. But the last couple of years that these teams have met in the playoffs, the road team has actually fared pretty well in this series. So again, so far in the NBA playoffs and the NHL playoffs, the home team has won every game. At some point, the road teams are going to start winning. I think the Leafs, the Golden Knights, and potentially the Kings as well could be worth a look tonight. Going to be a great night of playoff hockey. Can't wait to watch it. Now talk some NFL draft. Time to go gridiron glass here as we're going to look at the first player drafted market for some of these teams. I got 8 teams that I like for the position for them, first player drafted. We're going to start with the Los Angeles Rams right now, plus 150 to draft a defensive lineman. I mean, look, they lost Aaron Donald. They lost their defensive coordinator, Raheem Morris. That offense is stacked. Stafford, Kyren Williams, Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua, they're loaded. I know you could get another offensive line, right? Maybe the Rams are in the mindset that we're just going to outscore everybody this year, but they saw how important a guy like Aaron Donald was to that building, having a leader on the defensive line. I think they got to go get themselves another one. So I like the Rams plus 150 to draft a defensive lineman. Obviously, you're not going to get an Aaron Donald. He's one of one, but you need somebody on that defensive line. That's what the Rams want to do on defense, so I like it. Plus 150. Jets' first player to be drafted, I think, is going to be an offensive lineman at plus 130. I know a ton of mocks right now have Brock Bowers going to the Jets at number 10. I would look at the Jets potentially being a trade piece, though, moving back in the draft. Minnesota is there at 11. Denver is there at 12. You have the Raiders there in the middle of the first round as well. Maybe there are other teams that look to jump up. The Jets shouldn't be in a rush to draft Brock Bowers. They need Aaron Rodgers healthy. You have Garrett Wilson. You have Breece Hall. You need Aaron Rodgers upright. I think they get the offensive lineman. I like that. Plus 130, first player drafted to the Jets. Then I like the Steelers, first player drafted wide receiver at plus 500. I think this is worth the bet. Offensive lineman is a heavy bet at minus 375 for the Steelers to get an O lineman with their first pick. But they lost Deontay Johnson to the Carolina Panthers. You bring in two new quarterbacks with Justin Fields and Russell Wilson. Got to get them a weapon outside of George Pickens. You found something in the running game last year with Najee Harris and Jalen Warren and that 1-2 punch. Now you got to go get yourself some weapons on the outside. So I like the price for the Steelers to get a wide receiver with their first pick at plus 500. I also like the Ravens with their first pick to get a corner at plus 550. The Ravens, the way that they always operate, the way that they always do business, is they always get the best player available. And they're sitting there at 30. I could certainly see them trading back in the draft, getting the best player available. And you look at the late first round, early second round, a lot of good receivers, a lot of good corners in that group. Wide receivers plus 500, corners plus 550. I think either of those are good looks, but I'll go corner at plus 550. Then I like the Chiefs, the first player for them to draft. I like it to be a cornerback. You traded Legarius Sneed away to Tennessee. You need another corner on the other side of Trent McDuffie, right? A lot of people think Kansas City's going to get a receiver because they need one because of all the stuff going on with Rashee Rice. Pat Mahomes proved that he could have you and I out there catching the ball, and it really doesn't matter. Chiefs need to keep that defense elite. I think they get a corner plus 300 with their first pick. I like the Chargers to draft an offensive lineman with their first pick at minus 140. I would lay the juice. I know they need a receiver, but Jim Harbaugh, the way he builds his teams, is up front with offensive linemen. I think they get Joe Alt. Maybe if he's gone, they get somebody else, but I like the Chargers to draft an O-lineman. Falcons, I would lay the juice minus 210 with them getting an edge rusher, whether it be the guy out of UCLA, whether it be Dallas Turner out of Bama, or Raheem Morris, new head coach coming in, defensive guy. That's what the Falcons need. I'd lay it. And then finally, the 49ers, I think their first pick is going to be a receiver at plus 400. You're going to have to eventually pay Purdy. You're going to have to pay Deebo Samuel. Brandon Ayuk is wanting out. So what better way to get yourself a cheap weapon at the end of the first round than taking a wide receiver in a Shanahan offense? Like that price, plus 400, first drafted player to San Francisco being a receiver. So that's what we got for the NFL draft. Moving on now to model making money as we check in with Lucy Burge here on a Monday. Lucy, always great seeing you. What are the five-star plays BetQL has for us today?
Great to see you, PJ. Five-star play today from the BetQL model is in the NBA. It is Nuggets Lakers under 223.5. The Nuggets just hit the under in their last game and in two of their last four games, and the Lakers hit the under in their last two games and their last two games on the road as well, and the Lakers are averaging 117 points scored per game. Nuggets are averaging 114 points scored per game, so the BetQL model loves this as a five-star play today.
All right, very nice. Lucy, how about yourself? What do you like tonight for some of your best bets?
Yes, I have a bunch of them, PJ. They're all in Major League Baseball. The first one is a Lucy Longball pick of the day. Brian De La Cruz to hit a home run against the Braves, plus 525 at BetMGM. This is my long shot pick in the BetQL.com long shots article for today. Brian De La Cruz has hit three home runs in his last five games and four in his last eight games for a total of five home runs this season. So the majority of his home runs have come very recently and against Bryce Elder, who is starting for the Braves tonight in his season debut. De La Cruz is batting 600 with 4 hits, including 2 singles, a double, and a home run. So I think this is a great spot for him to hit another home run tonight. Then the other side, Ronald Acuna Jr., to have over 1.5 total bases. He has 10 hits in his last 7 games, and he has gone over this in 6 of his last 9 games. And he has 8 total bases in his last 4 games. And he is batting .667 against Ryan Weathers with 2 hits, a single and a double in 3 at-bats. So I think he can go over total bases. Then Trey Turner over 1.5 total bases. He's hit this in 7 of his last 8 games with a high of 7 total bases in 1 game. And against Hunter Green starting for the Reds, he is batting .556, 5 hits, including a home run and 4 singles. So I like him to go over total bases. And then Ryan Mountcastle over 1.5 hits. He has 2 hits in each of his last 2 games, in 4 of his last 5 games, and in 5 of his last 7, and in 6 of his last 10. The guy can't have under 2 hits in a game. So I think he could go over on hits too. He's facing Reed Detmers tonight, and he's batting .273 against him with 3 hits. All 3 of those were singles. So I think he can make it 3 games in a row going over 1.5 hits for tonight.
Love it, Lucy. And he's facing a left-handed pitcher in Detmers and Mounty. Loves hitting his lefties. Great baseball analysis from Lucy. Make sure you catch Bet Slips and Bat Flips coming up 2 p.m. Eastern time with her and Jake Gasson. Lucy, before I let you go, want to get some of your thoughts on the NFL draft. It starts Thursday. What is your favorite NFL draft on the board right now?
Yes, so my favorite NFL draft bet for this draft is Marvin Harrison Jr. to be taken with a 3rd pick by the Patriots plus +2200. So my plan, if I was the Patriots, you draft Marvin Harrison Jr., you anticipate Jacoby Brissett, yes, starting at quarterback for the season, Tom Brady returning, let's say, halfway through the season to the NFL to be the quarterback for the New England Patriots. So that's how I would play this draft, and you get a little bit of value there for Marvin Harrison Jr. plus +2200 for the 3rd pick in the draft.
Very nice, Lucy. I also think Marv is going 3 overall. I mean, the Patriots, like, as you know, need a lot of help, and he's, I think, the best player in the draft. So makes a
exactly.
lot of sense.
That's why we're Lucy, best friends, PJ. I agree.
Lockstep, Lucy. Love it. Great stuff, Lucy. Always good having you on. Good luck on the show today. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, PJ. I'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. For those people who want to continue to bet but don't have the time to research each individual game, you need to download the BetQL app. It ranks each game on a 1 to 5 star scale based on its unbeatable analysis from spreads and over-unders to player props. Stay up to date and bet confidently with BetQL's help. All right, now it is time to wrap up the show. PJ's play is here on Send It In, and we are going streaking today with our guy, Trey Turner. It's a little bit of a rough week for us last week there. Didn't end it all that well, but we're going to bounce back today with Trey Turner, who Lucy mentioned is 5-for-9 in his career against Hunter Green. He's also batting .348 this season. Remember when Trey Turner struggled his first like 3 months in Philadelphia and then they cheered for him? He's been looking like Trey Turner ever since. He's carried that into this year. He's playing great. He is my play in going streaking. My prop lock, which I talked about earlier, Franz Wagner over 1.5 threes plus +105 for the Magic. Magic are going to need to knock down outside shots, and Wagner is probably going to need to be the guy that does it. Cleveland's just too good defensively inside, going to have to hit some perimeter jumpers. I'll take Franz over 1.5 3-pointers. My dog of the day is going to be the Vegas Golden Knights plus +115 against the Stars. This is probably the series I'm looking the most forward to. The defending champs against the number one seed in the West. I think the series goes 6, if not 7 games. And we all know a series doesn't start until the road team wins. I think that happens off the jump. Give me Vegas plus +115 tonight against the Stars. Shawnee Sharp, where are you going with your best bet for today?
Yeah, Peach, well, as everyone always says, death, taxes, and the White Sox to lose by 2 or more runs. So I'm taking the Twins on the run line, minus 1.5. It's at even money. Twins have been struggling lately, and there's no better medicine than the Chicago White Sox, as everyone knows here. Chris Paddock, who's going for the Twins tonight, his ERA is very deceiving. He got rocked in his first game against your O's, gave up 9 runs. And then he went up against the Dodgers and the Brewers, 2 really solid teams, only gave up 2 runs in both games. So the White Sox can't hit. Chris Paddock's looking better, and the Twins need to win. So I think they're going to win by 2 or more.
Fair enough. I mean, it's been a blind bet that's been working this baseball season, betting against the Sox. My best bet, Maxi or no Maxi, maybe you want to, it would probably be smart of you guys to wait to see what happens. Maybe you can get a better number. I don't even think we're going to need the points tonight. I think Philadelphia wins this game outright. Give me the Sixers plus 5.5. Remember, they won in Boston last year without Embiid. James Harden went crazy. I think they win tonight, even if Maxi doesn't play and Embiid goes crazy. Hopefully Kelly Oubre can chip in as well. To recap our best bets for today, Trey Turner going streaking is going to be our best bet against Hunter Green. Franz Wagner over 1.5 threes at plus 105 is our prop lock. Golden Knights at plus 115 is our dog of the day against the Stars. And give me the Sixers plus 5.5 against the Knicks. Think they're going to tie that series up 1-1. Thanks again to Johnny VTV, Lucy Burge for joining us here on Send It In. As always, if you guys missed any of the show, you can go catch it on the Send It In podcast, wherever you get your podcast. Enjoy the playoff basketball, hockey, MLB tonight. We'll see you guys tomorrow for another episode of Send It In, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on BetQL Network.